We love.
Well, let's get into it, man. We got a man right now. He's moving and shaking. He's moving around these streets. Where are you, in Los Angeles right now, or are you in the Bay?
I'm in Southern California, so I'm in Pomona currently, and I'm about to mob to L.A., to the west side of L.A. Got 4 podcasts I'm filming today. We in motion right now, bro. I'm blessed.
Yeah, man. And even as of lately, you know, you always got something going on, but you've been popping up on these internet streets, as they say. And, you know, I said, you know what? I need to tap in with this guy finally, you know, get the full story and have a good conversation with my man over here on the West Coast.
Yeah, I've been fucking with you for a minute. So, and you know, I fuck with the six heavy. So you already know, like,
yes,
that we overdo.
Let me ask you quick, fast, before we even get into our intro and stuff. What rappers you fucking with over here in Toronto, bro?
I don't want to get too political because I know that there's hella beefs and shit.
Apologies.
But you feel me? Like, I'm a big fan of, like, Northside Benji, Plaga, Pressa, you know. Like, I love Toronto music. I've always been super tapped in. I was a big fan of, you know, Smoke Dog, Casper, TNG, like all that shit. Like, I fucks with Toronto, you know, going back to, I mean, probably obviously Drizzy, you know, the legend, like, but, you know, going back, like, I fuck with, you know, like Cardinal Official, Chuck Clare, Bishop Brigante, like, you know, like,
wow.
Motherfucking Maestro Fresh West, that's my dog. Shouts to the OG, you feel me?
Yeah. And it's beautiful because, like, 98% of those people that you just named right there, I've had conversations on camera with. So, you know,
that's dope.
Yeah, man, it's an honor, especially dope. When you get into the rarefied air like Cardinal and guys like that. I'm like, that's the goats right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's legend status. And I think there's a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people that I forgot to mention as well. Like, there's Toronto's, you know, outside of the U.S., like, Toronto is my favorite city when it comes to hip-hop. So, you know, it's one of my favorite cities in the world, period. I've been on record saying most beautiful women of any city I've ever been to. It's like, and there's so much diversity, whatever flavor you like. You like a butter pecan, you like chocolate deluxe, you like your French vanilla, you like your caramel sundae with the cherry on top, and well, whatever you like. Toronto's got it and has got the best version of it. So,
trust
y'all, team pool is impeccable. And I think it's due to all that fucking diversity. And it's a real melting pot.
No, man. Thank you for that, man. Well, let's get into it, man. I'm like I said, I'm honored to start this conversation right here. Before I do get into it, I want to give a big salute to my sponsors. You know, we got to pay bills around here. Big salute to Astro. Big salute to Diamond Club. That's the sign that you see me behind me right here.
Okay.
Hit them up on their Instagram page, Diamond Club_Canada. They got the delivery of all that loud. They got edibles, pens, tinctures, all types of good stuff. So once again, hit them up on their Instagram page, Diamond Club_Canada. Also, I want to give a big salute to exotichotpots.ca. This is what I got over here. Some super dope packaging as well. And they got grabba and merch. Okay. So hit them up on their Instagram page, exotichotpot.ca. They'll handle your order. Let them know that the We Love Hip Hop Boy sent you and, we'll get it popping. One more. Steaming hot grabba. Go ahead.
Okay, I love the grabba. Now go ahead, finish, handle your biz. I just thought about something else. More Toronto rappers, but go ahead.
Also, if y'all need to get that grabba, that blem, hit up Steaming Hot Grabba. They got delivery as well. Use the code We Love Hip Hop if you want a discount. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steaming Hot Grabba, and they'll definitely handle the order. So what were you saying, fam?
There's some. Maybe it's familiar to you, but not familiar to a lot of people. MCs from Toronto, I want to shed light on as well. From you know, previous days, they're still at it though. You familiar with my boy Genghis Khan?
Yes, I am, aka okay. Camouflage.
Camo, my boy Camo, one of the goats. Shouts to Hudson. You feel me, Heavy Huddy?
That's my boy. That's my homie, bro.
That's the, you know. No, that's fam right there all damn day. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you into that boom bap underground hip hop, I got respect for motherfucking this fool Danielson, who's hard too.
Yeah,
he goes hard. I believe he's from Toronto as well, if not somewhere in the surrounding areas. Because I also know like the GTA is similar to Los Angeles, where there's, you know, most people that are from LA, they're not really from Los Angeles. There's a lot of surrounding cities and shit like that. I got homies from everywhere in Toronto, from Etobicoke to Bolton. You feel me? Like, literally. So, you know, like, wow. The whole GTA and fucking beyond, I fucks with it heavy.
Well, you know what? You have had your travels around here via the battle rap scene and different things like that. There's a bunch of things I want to get into. Let's start off like with what's going on currently. I've seen recently, and big salute to AGB, to Don, who also linked this up as well. He sent me a link of you linking up with or talking to Crip Mac. He gave you a call from jail. What's going on with Crip Mac? How's he doing, man? Because I remember you were the first person who greeted him when he first came home from jail.
I'm really worried about him. I'm worried about his mental health. Not to say he's not a strong person, because you know, Trevor Crip Mac, he's a really strong person. You feel me? And so he, like, I know that he's prepared for what he's got to deal with. So, but I'm worried about the homie. You know, I know he's going through a lot of confusion and issues with his other business partners. I don't know. I have no idea into the intricacies of that, and it's not my place to speak on. Regardless, you know, I got no problem with China Mac. You know, we straight as far as I'm concerned. You know, we good money. So I don't really know too much. You know, I'm not really in communication with Lupe. I did just hear from his mother, Mama Bear, which was nice. So what we're looking to do is this Sunday, we're gonna 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We gonna take y'all to church, motherfuckers. And we're gonna do a telethon. We gonna raise money for the Mac. You feel me? Sick. He got a baby on the way. That baby needs to be taken care of. He got, you know, well, he might be sitting down for a minute. You gotta make sure we can help him with whatever items he needs. Mm-hmm. We gotta help with his legal defense, because, you know, I'm not so sure he's super happy with the status of his lawyer, you know. And I want to make sure that I'm doing my part to help, because he, like people think that, oh, like, you know, I did just meet Crip Mac when he got released, I believe. When was that? May of this past year? Yeah. Of 2023?
Sometime around there.
That's the first time we met. But we, not only did we work together several times, we hung out. You feel me? I would, like, you would hit me up and check on me. I had a period in my life when a lot of people weren't really fucking with me like that, when I was on a downward trend, and he always showed love. So I always tried to help him, even if I couldn't, if I did not work for him. A lot of people knew that I was, that I had a good relationship with him. So he got a lot of work through me as well. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, and he's just like a good dude. So I just want to see him do well. I'm definitely concerned. I can't imagine what he's going through, because I've never, you know, I've been incarcerated, but only for a few months as a juvenile, and for a matter of weeks in county jail, like, as an adult. And
yeah,
that, to me, that was enough. Like, that's hell enough to want to endure. But, you know, different people are built differently. I know he's, you know, he knows the contract that he signed with the streets, but I just know that there's another side to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is trying to better himself in his community. And there is people just kind of get lost in the sauce of these characters and personas, and they don't realize that there's a real human being in there. And you know, so, and he's a genuinely good soul. So whatever I can do, I don't think there's much I can do, but I'm going to do my part. You feel me? To help.
No, I salute you for that, man. A lot of people will try to use Crip Mac as an opportunity to leech, but I seen you using it, you know, not using him, like, more like being a big brother to him. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I absolutely. And, like, you know, I know that he's had a lot of people that have kind of stepped into mentorship roles and tried to help him in that regard. And that's all I can try to do is be a good influence for whatever influence I have. Because there's, at the end of the day, like, there's only so much. Like, I've tried to have conversations about mental health and substance abuse and share my struggles and, you know, and whatever. He's ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, he's a grown-ass man. He gonna move how he moves. But I got, hopefully this whole situation, regardless, makes him only just come back stronger. And he's forever gonna be embedded in the ethos of, you know, the zeitgeist of pop culture, you know, like, he made a permanent impression. So free the Mac to backwards, baby.
Yeah, man. Free Crip Mac, yo.
We love hip hop.
Reaching to the sponsors, Diamond Club, with delivery all over the GTA and now all across Canada. They got the best selection of flower, edibles, and pens and all types of goodies that you need. You can find them on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada, or you can find them on the 7 Days of Weed app as well as the Leafy Things app. Let them know that you heard about them through the We Love Hip Hop Network, and they may give you a discount. Big salute to Diamond Club. Cheers! And also, I've been looking on, I don't know if it was, I think through the link in your bio, and I found the Battle of the Bay that's coming up. Did that already pass, or is that coming up?
That was last August. Yeah, Battle of the Bay, BOTBX. It's one of the biggest battle events of the year. We had, you know, we brought back, you know, as a Canadian, I'll say we brought back Lopeshi from Montreal. You feel me? Shouts to King of the Dot, Organic, and all them. Brought Lopeshi out to battle out of retirement, battle B Magic. We had Disaster versus the Block Captain, TNA and Charlie Clips versus Dumbfounded and Satire, Passports versus Reed Dollars. It was really just like a mega stacked card full of talent. And my boy Disaster, you know, he's genius when not only as a battler, but as a matchmaker and a curator, he's one of the best. And for us to get to work together, you know, that's my brother. So it was an incredible experience. I didn't want to fucking do it at the time, but I'm glad that we did.
Yeah, man. And salute to Disaster. I got an opportunity to meet him a few months back at the Pat's Day event that Organic put down for KOTD. And we got to chop it up on camera, too. So
motherfucking... Pat, you know, long live Pat Stay, the absolute GOAT. One of the dopest. You know, I didn't mention him when I was talking about Toronto MCs. Because obviously he's pure, you know, pure Scotia. But he made a huge impact on Toronto and just like hip-hop in general across the world. And the best was yet to come. He had just signed a new management deal. We saw the diss tracks that he had just dropped against the game going crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, that was something else. A great friend, like that. That's the type of dude. Like, look, I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, bitches have fucked me because of Pat's Day. Like, I've gotten pussy off of the strength of like Pat being like, "Yo, like, you should go fuck the homie one time." Like, he's that type of dude, bro. Yeah. And forever in my good graces. Not just for that, but just for being a true talent and just a all around incredible human being. Like, because I love Pat. That shit hit me hard, dude. That shit hit me hard. And that's the, in battle rap, it's unfortunate. We've actually lost like a disproportionate amount of people. There's been a lot of deaths. I can't even begin to start naming them, but although, you know, the one that affected me the most personally was my brother Cadillac Ron, because, you know,
R.I.P.
That's like my real life, like everyday brother. But that impact, like that death hit the culture like nothing else, you know, like, but respect to, you know, long live all the legends, PH, Caddy Ron, Young Pete Future. There's so many, too many to name. It's crazy, bro.
You just made me put a tingle up my spine when you said PH, RIP Pumpkinhead, man. Wow. Yeah, man. Listen, okay. We can go off to so many different tangents because your life has so many layers, bro. I want to make sure to get a focused, lush story right here. But still staying on current times, Mad Deep Podcast. Salute to you with the Mad Deep Podcast. What's going on with that right now?
So Mad Deep, that's the movement, baby. Like, Mad Deep is like what? So essentially, there's a Hispanic Chicano culture meme page called You Ain't Hard Fool. And that they started posting my content and fucking with me. And I was fucking with their content with, you know, a couple hundred thousand followers growing, and they're just really tapped in to like cutting edge underground culture, especially like on the Latino side of things. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, they cover more ground than just that. But, you know, him and I became homies, the two behind that page. And then, you know, around the time that I had stopped doing, you know, I got fired from No Jumper. I was doing the Lush World thing, trying to get it popping, but like, I wasn't really like 100% happy with the direction of it. And him and, they invited me onto their podcast to be a host, and we've just been killing it like this for the past month and change, just going up. And mm-hmm. It's, you know, like it's a new channel, but it just hit a couple thousand subs real quick and starting to get viral content on there. Like, and it's going crazy. Shouts to my brothers over there, still rocking with Big Rick from, the pop up in Lush World. And of course, Kenny Malice, OTG Nick, and my boy Trap Nine. And that's the click. We're not playing no games, bro. We're dropping content every single day on the Mad Deep channel, on the Lush World channel. Well, you know, we're breaking new artists before the bigger platforms get them. And pretty soon we're going to be one of the bigger platforms. You feel me? Like, I'm very confident in this endeavor.
No, it's sick, man. And I like the setup. Everything looks really dope, man. Also, staying on current topics before we start going back a little bit, right? What's going on with you and the boy Suspect, man?
Nothing's going on, bro. I just said his song was whack. He got all emotional about it, bro. Like, I don't really see what the big deal was. Like, just thought his song was whack. He was has said way more disrespectful shit to me. Like, wasn't mad at the dude. I just, like, saw his song. People were making fun of it. I was like, oh, shit. That shit is kind of whack. Made a post, or not even a post, story. I didn't even say bro's name. Just made fun of it. I was like, a lot of people were asking me who I was talking about. Like, people that are tapped into No Jumper, they knew that I was talking about him, because a lot of people were making fun of it in that space.
And the song had just dropped, too. I just posted it on his Instagram.
Like, it was just funny. I was joking around and shit. I was serious. And, like, just kept making fun of it, bro. It's like, all right, bro, like 1 minute, like, you want to cry, you want to, it shouldn't even be like that. It shouldn't even be like that. It's just like, bro, like, at the end of the day, like, you're an artist. You're going to get critiques, especially when you're rapping off fucking rhyming monosyllabic, like, basic patterns. And, like, you expect someone who's, like, a real MC to not critique it, you're fucking tripping.
But you guys, from what I've seen on camera and just the conversations that you guys had and stuff like that, seem like you have a long standing history, like, I guess from the battle rap times with his dad and everything like that too. Like,
yeah, I fuck with his pops. His pops is a legend. His pops is an OG. Shouts to Rifle Band LA Cool, you know? Great MC. You know, he's an OG in the scene that I come from. West Coast underground hip hop. So, of course, you know, like, I've seen that kid grow up, and he was, you know, like, I considered him like a nephew type figure to me until we got to No Jumper, and then he started to make it all weird. Like, but ultimately, I still consider him family. Like, it's not like I don't, it's not like it's fuck you, but it's not fuck you. Like, it's not like, it's not beef. And if he, like, but, you know, whatever it is, what it is, but, like, that dude just needs to grow up, bro. Like, grow up. Like, stop wearing fake designers. Like, stop trying to impress people. Stop seeking validation and trying to find some fulfillment. That's what I had to do, and it took me a lot longer to figure that lesson out. And hopefully, he learned it sooner. So, you know, because that young man could have a bright future ahead of him, but he continues to act like fucking the continues to act like the fuckboy that he's been, then it is what it is.
Yeah, well, listen, man, hopefully it could one day be resolved and y'all can maybe do a song together or something. Who knows?
We have records together that people haven't heard. The one record that we do have that's out, I wrap circles around it without even trying.
Oh, shit. Listen, man.
So you can look that up. I mean, you can look up the record. It's called Expensive Piss by J.T. Cali Smooth. That's my brother right there, featuring Lush One and Almighty Suspects. And, you know, the song's cool, but, you know, I think my boy J.T. Cali Smooth got the best verse. Then I think I got the second best verse. Mm. Then I think Suspects and Blackest verse.
Well, listen, man, salute to both of y'all. I just ask the questions and I remain neutral like a referee. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not, ultimately, in my heart, I love that movie. Disrespect me to the point where I feel like I need to regard his feelings or, like, care about how he feels. You know what I mean? Like,
no, for sure. He was violating. He was going crazy.
The way that he's violated me, like, I shouldn't. There's no reason why I should give a fuck enough about this guy to, you know what I mean, to preserve his emotions. But he definitely did try to preserve my feelings or dignity or anything like that. And it was all jokes when he did it. And but I'm not allowed to joke. Like, well, who writes these rules, bro? Like, where's the manual? Oh, if it's somebody you feel like you can, like, beat in a fight, then it's like, fuck you, we're throwing hands. Like, bro, join a boxing gym, bro. Like, fucking do some MMA, take your aggression out on the mat, fucking pause, and then fucking, you know, pound an energy drink and punch some drywall, bro. You acting like a fucking, you acting like a roid-raged white boy over some fucking jokes, dog.
That's crazy. Oh, man. Okay, switching gears. How did you feel, and I'm just going to put like a memory back in your brain right here. How did you feel when the Six God himself said he's the light-skinned Lush One?
I was like, oh, I'm going to get some pussy. My DMs was on. I've been using a word they were using at that time. Throwback memory, throwback word. My DMs was on fleek. Ever since, bro, like, nah, but, you know, Drake is a genuine purveyor of the culture. He really loves the shit. Like, Drake, my time spent around him and his entire camp, shouts to the OBO boys, shouts to Hush, motherfucking Hush. Oh, that's my man's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Another, I know you know, that's an incredible lyricist as well. Great rapper.
AKA Young Tony.
Yup. Being around those guys, they're really tapped into whatever's next. They're just like me and my homies. Like, Drake is, he's looking at whatever the next vibe is going to be, the next wave. And he always loved battle rap because he understands the power of the lyricism. I think that's what fuels his bars, you know? Like, that's why Drake throw in the punchlines on mainstream records that a lot of rappers aren't able to do. And guess what? Like, people want to talk about ghostwriters. Like, motherfucker, do you understand how many songs Drake ghost wrote for other artists? Drake is the ghostwriter. Like, people have no clue. I've been in his studio. I've seen, like, what the fuck, how Drake gets down, bro. Like, it's, motherfuckers have no clue. But to answer your question, it was dope, and he's a great dude. Haven't seen him for a minute, but, you know, it's always love.
I didn't know that the relationship was that deep, that y'all were like, you went to a studio. I didn't know that you knew, like, the members of the crew. Like that. Like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, you know, like when Organic came into town, this fool Drake invited us on his tour. So he did the Weezy. Remember the Drake versus Weezy tour?
Yes.
It was like a theme. It was like them competing and they would go back and forth songs.
It was like early verses.
Right. It was like a versus, exactly, before verses. And they told Drake told us, like, Drake told me to my face, Inorganic and Gully. Like, yo, like, this shit was inspired by the battles. And, like, because I love battles, my homage to battle rap. And, you know, I'm going to, he wound up putting up a lot of bread for King of the Dot event. And, but yeah, no, we partied, went to the club with Drake, went to his crib, got studio. Like, I was, you know, fucking around with them folks for like a good, on and off for a good couple of years. Wow. It's still love. Like, if Drake see me right now, it's love. You feel me? Like, but, you know, obviously, like, he was already a huge star back then, but now, you know, Drake's on fucking Mars. He owns property next to Elon Musk. Like, he's out of here. But
yes.
Shout to Drizzy, man.
Nah, man. Shout out to the Six God right there. And you mentioned Organic. You guys, that relationship with Organic and the KOTD family, how did that start? Because you've always been into the battle rap scene, you know, from the early days, even before KOTD started, but KOTD is a huge part of the scene.
I don't know if you saw the tattoo I just put on the screen, but that's my KOTD. I got the motherfucking CN Tower tatted on me, baby.
Yeah.
You feel me? From the King of the Dot and a Maple Leaf. So that, me and Organic have been homies since, I want to say, 2004. When he was like, I was probably like 22 years old. He was maybe like 16 years old or shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
16, 17 years old. And there was basically the battle scene right then at that time was small enough as to where if you were good, everyone, like, we all knew each other across the world.
Yeah.
Like all the top battlers, especially like in the English speaking countries, like everybody that was from the UK, Australia, Canada, or the US, even like we weren't really tapped in with fools from South Africa that much, but there's a few of them too, you know, like, but like all the English speaking countries, New Zealand, whatever, you feel me? Like, we all knew each other. There's only like maybe 100 of us in the world. And Organic was that dude in Toronto. He's one of the top battlers.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the top battlers in the West Coast. And it was just like we just became homies. And then once he started King of the Dot and we launched Grind Time out here, Matt Hills Direct, you know, myself, and the shit, it was natural that me and Organic connected because I was already my homeboy from the battle scene before.
Yep.
So we always just had each other's backs. And it's like people would try to do some backdoor shit. We would always like, we would never let them divide and conquer us. We always keep each other in the loop, like, hey, this fool's trying to bust a move on you, but da da da. And like, we always just kept it cool. And then, like, we became really close. There's been periods of times where, you know, I considered Organic one of my best friends. He is like, oh, he's like a brother to me. We're cousins or brothers. Like, he's family. You feel me? Like, you know, like he's known several of my girlfriends. I've known several of his girlfriends. I met his mom. You know, it's like that. Like, we're family for real.
Y'all locked in.
Locked in for life. I mean, there's like, you know, he got his ghost drops thing going crazy. He's still doing King of the Dot. I can't speak on it too much, but him and I we do have a little project in the works, or at least like you're gonna see me and Organic together pretty soon.
Nice. I'll say that. Nice. I'm looking forward to that, man. Now, I want to go back a little bit. Okay. Just a little bit of your history. You've already told your history on a few different platforms, so I don't think we need to go through in depth of your backstory. But for the people who don't know, you grew up in West Los Angeles, right? Father is a
I'm from West LA.
Yep. Father is a filmmaker, mother is a play producer.
Yep.
Now, and you're one of three brothers.
Got two older brothers.
What was it like being the youngest in the family?
I'm the baby.
Yeah. What was that like being the youngest of the three siblings?
Well, it was trippy because my brothers are 12 and 14 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so they were like kind of too old to really like beat me up and put me in check like a big brother. Like, although I did learn a lot from them, like my brothers, like helped me learn how to ride a bike and, you know, like, do a lot of shit, played sports with me and all that, like, skateboarding and all that. But, like they, it was weird because they weren't, like, we didn't really have sibling rivalry type shit because they're way too much older than me. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was, like, 5-6 years old, they had already moved away. We're gone when I was college and shit. So it's an interesting dynamic where, like, we're brothers, but they're kind of more like my uncles than my brothers.
Yeah, because of that age gap.
And I'm super, like, I was, like, always, like, the entertainment of the family. I was always funny, making everybody laugh. Like, my whole family are hyper successful and they're hyper intellectual. So just to get a word in edgewise at the dinner table, you have to be very quick. You have to be very, that's what kind of prepared me for what I wound up doing in life and having conversations with intelligent people such as yourself. And I'm able to sustain dialogue is because, like, just by being around my family, you know, like, and then my grandparents and everybody so, like, hyper opinionated and on politics and arts and sports and just really knowledgeable. So I kind of inherited all that and soaked all that up. And it just became like, I just applied all that shit to my own culture that I grew up in, which was hip hop, you know?
Yeah. And, but even when you started getting into, like, school and stuff like that, you were expelled from 3 different high schools. Big Sleuth is Steven Hot Grabba with a variety of different grabba flavors and dispensers. They got Red Rose Grabba, that Red Herring Grabba, and Peanut Butter. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steamin' Hot Grabba, and use the code WeLoveHipHop and receive a discount on your order. Again, you can find them on Instagram, Steamin' Hot Grabba. Now let's get back to the show. Gia.
Yep. I was expelled from 3 different high schools.
What was, like, the main reason? Was it, like, attendance? Was it, like, fucking around?
So the first time I was already on fucking, like, super thin ice over there, like, I've been caught up doing a lot of stupid shit. So I was, like, already there. And then, like, the end of my sophomore year, I got caught tagging on a different campus, like a rival campus, like from another school. Mm-hmm. Like, we wound up tagging up their campus because, like, there's a graffiti crew that went to school there that was, like, ops of me and my crew, right?
Yeah.
So we went to their school and tagged up their school. It's something that I used to do. Absolutely insane, right? Like, stupid as fuck. We wound up tagging a car. One of my boys hit a car with a streaker. I don't even think I ever told this story. My boy G-Money did this shit. Shouts to my boy G-Money. He tagged the we didn't know it was the prince. We just thought it was a random car. We didn't know it was the vice principal's. but then obviously, like, our ops, they fucking snitched us out.
Mm.
And we're, like, trying to run up on these fools. Like, they snitched us out. So we were about to get expelled. But because, like, my mom was on, like, the part of the PTA and the Parent Teacher Association and all that. And, like, that's probably the only reason they didn't expel me. And I was, like, a really good student, like, as far as, like, I would never do my, I wouldn't really be that good at homework and stuff, but I would test really well. I could write really good papers, you know, like, even though I was a disruption, the teachers fucked with me because they knew I was, like, intelligent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't get expelled, but I was on, like, triple, quadruple, quintuple secret probation. If you fucking burp on a Tuesday, you get expelled, right?
Yeah.
And then that summer, in between my sophomore and junior year, because this literally happened, like, the last week of school of my sophomore year, during that summer, I wind up going to juvie. I get busted for, it's my second time being busted. I was 16. And I got busted for, I was just tagging, but they said vandalism, trespassing, and possession with intent to distribute because I had 3 little dime bags of weed on, you feel me?
Yeah.
But they said possession with this, so they tried to give me a felony, but I got sent to a drug diversion program instead. So I went to juvie for a second, Then they sent me to a drug diversion program called Anacapa, which is in Ventura County, one county away from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And that place was really fucked up. It was a fucked up place. It wound up getting shut down by the state of California. But, you know, I did a couple months there. Then I went back. When I came home, it was like right in time for school to start. Like, damn, y'all should have just kept me longer. Fuck this stuff.
Yeah.
I was ready to come home. But school starts, and within like the first month of school, I wind up getting some kid drunk, and he got drunk during lunch period, and he came back and puked in our class.
Oh man!
And he snitched out, and I got expelled for that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And by the time you get to like the last school where you finally graduated, you end up smashing the secretary, bro?
Yeah. The secretary was sucking my dick every day, bro. Secretary was sucking on my dick every day. There's nothing I didn't do. But here's the thing, like, it wasn't no weird shit because we were the same age. Like, I was 18 and she was like 19 or she was maybe like a year older than me.
Mm-hmm.
She just happened to have a job at the school because the school I graduated from was a, so first I got expelled from private school, got expelled from public school. I'd already been to public school for middle school and elementary as well. And I didn't get expelled from there though. I just got expelled from public school, high school, private school, high school, then a continuation school got expelled. So then I'm banned from all LAUSD schools.
Wow.
I'm banned from Los Angeles Unified School District. And like the continuation school I went to was super janky. Like it was like armed guards, metal detectors. Everybody that went there was a gang member. I was like probably the biggest square at the entire school at the time. You know what I mean? Like, and got expelled from there too for some stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? Like for fighting and like the down drive, a whole bunch of shit. Almost got arrested for that.
So you got away. So you got away with smashing the secretary.
So I started smashing the secretary because the school I wound up graduating from was basically like, if your parents have enough money to pay for like a place for you to go, you'll get your fucking diploma. It was like a tiny school. There's maybe like 15 kids in my graduating class. So like, the shit was, it used to be a dentist office. Now it's a cannabis dispensary. Motherfucker, I was selling weed there 20 years before it was a dispensary, you feel me? But anyway, yeah, like that bitch, I taught her how to suck dick. She got a tongue ring because of me. You feel me? Like I turned her out completely. Like I'm whatever. It is what it is. I've already said her name before. And people already peeped me talking about this from other interviews. And they're like, yep, I know exactly what he's talking about, blah, 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 blah. But shouts to her. You know, like those bitches, like when you miss a good, like you lose a good woman, that's terrible. But sometimes it hurts worse losing a good head doctor. And she was like, she had that plus 3,000 free, you feel me?
Yeah. The specialist right there. Oh, man. And
a specialist, team.
Your life has been, your teenage life was wild, bro. Just going through your history, right? Can you tell me the story of going to Luxembourg and an OD?
Yes. So it's funny because like you're being pretty chronological right now because I went to Luxembourg. I was 18. My pops was working out there. He was working on a film called The Musketeer. I go out there to visit him. I party one night with a bunch of with some girls and shit, take some ecstasy, wake up the next morning, supposed to meet my parents for lunch. Instead, I have a fucking overdose. I wake up in some infirmary with a bunch of doctors like speaking some like super crucial foreign unique language, because Luxembourg, their language is like a hybrid of four different European countries that used to invade them. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm probably going to like get it wrong, but I think it's Germany, France, Holland, and Belgium. Or like, you know, like I think it's right in between all those countries. And like their language. I wake up from my overdose. My mom's right there, like all tripping. Then I went to rehab.
Sorry. Keep
you
going.
Tell me?
Sorry, your phone cut out for a second.
Oh, I said, yeah, then I went to rehab. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, continuing with your...
I'd already been to a gang of rehabs anyway.
Yeah.
I've been to Julie. I've been to rehab already, like all that shit. So...
Is that now... This is after this, when you decided to start going and moving your way over to the Bay Area and you started getting out of the West LA area.
Yeah, so after that, I moved to the Bay. And that's when I was 19 years old. I moved to Oakland and started fucking around up there. It's funny, just to go too off track, but the reason why the secretary stopped fucking with me was I was still fucking with her 11 years after I graduated high school.
Mm.
But then a song came out where I said, I sexed the secretary, just get a diploma. And like, that was like, it was a bar. I didn't only do it to get a diploma, although she did help me cheat on hella tests and shit. Like, but that shit, like, I guess was the final straw of me mistreating her to the point where, like, she's like, you know what, fool, like, you're not getting your dick sucked or any of this pussy anymore. But anyways, yeah, so I moved to the Bay in 2001, and really, like, started from the ground up. I had nothing, was complete at that time, was completely estranged from my family,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I had to build myself up from the beginning because I had fucked up. You feel me? I had fucked up to the point where my parents weren't going to help me anymore. I literally was living in halfway houses, wound up becoming homies with some fools that lived around there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got kicked out the halfway house, I moved into the homies' crib in the projects over there off of Biola Street and off of 35th, like in Sutter in East Oakland. And I stayed over there for a while. I stayed in Northside Oakland for a while and built myself up, built my name up in the rap game and in the streets out there, and wound up getting my own apartment within, I guess it took me about a year and change. And I had my own apartment and fucking, and then within a few years from that, the battle raps, you know, my crew, Delmon crew,
mm-hmm.
my rap group, we start cracking off. We're like pretty much doing shows with everybody, throwing our own shows, because like we did it independently. At first, you know, we had our crew and we knew we were dope, and a lot of the local promoters, it was like a little incestuous scene that only fucked with each other. They didn't want to put us on. Like, you know what, fuck y'all, we're gonna throw our own shows. So we started throwing our own shows, booking ourselves, and our shit was more cracking than anybody else's, to the point where we're opening our own venue. We opened up our own venue in 2004.
Uh-huh.
I'm the age of 22. It's called 2232 MLK. Shout out to my brother Andrew Jones, you feel me, for making that happen. And we also just became like one of the hottest crews, so everyone had to book us. And then at that time, you know, I was the one that could freestyle for my crew the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I started battling fools, and I'd already been battling fools since way back in the day anyways. So I started fucking gaining some traction there and decapitating these motherfucking lames, and then we all good.
And from around then, is that when the grind time started?
We love hip-hop.
This episode sponsor Exotic Hot Pots, with great strains and merch and delivery all across the GTA. You can hit them up on their Instagram page, Exotic Hot Pot CA, or subscribe to their Telegram at Exotic Hot Pot. Let them know that you heard about them through the We Love Hip Hop podcast. Salute to the sponsors. Cheer.
Grind time started in 2008. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, man, we're going through the progression right here. Like, you've had a lot of ups and downs in the game, bro. You know, just going through your story, man, like, just for you to still be here is a blessing. You know what I'm saying?
No, for real. Like, I appreciate that. And that's how I feel. Like, a lot of people tell me, like, one of the biggest, like, most common troll comments I get, people are always like, at your age, like, da, 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 da. Like, it's hard for me, like, I never envisioned myself living long.
Mm.
I feel like I've already like outlived my life expectancy by a significant margin, you know? like I didn't expect to be. Like, now I want to be an old man. I want to have grandchildren. I want to like, you know, but I never saw that as a possibility in my life. You know?
Yeah. There was a point in time where you probably thought your life was going to be ended. You got kidnapped.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I've had attempts on my life, you feel me, multiple times. I've never tried to commit suicide, but I've taken drugs to the point where I didn't care if I died or not.
Mm.
I've had hits out on me, you know, by various organizations. Crazy experiences where that's why I believe in God. That's why I carry the cross. You feel me? Because I know if it wasn't for God, there's no reason that I should be alive. You know.
Specifically, though, the kidnapping is what I want to know about, fam. What happened there?
Oh yeah, well, you feel me?
And we don't have to get into like the criminal aspect details, but like, were you like thrown in a trunk or something?
Like, basically, no. I was running around with these fools, and we were like into some activities. As far as, you feel me, the dope game and et cetera, things of that nature, and basically, they wanted me to set up somebody that was close to me. I didn't do that. And then we got into it. And then these fools wound up hemming me up, basically, and like beating me within an inch of my life. I'd be like pretty much like hemmed up for like a day and chain. I don't even know how long, you feel me. But I left there, I could barely walk. Like my leg was like, it was like so swollen. I needed to like lay in an Epsom salt bath for like a week straight. I posted a picture of myself on Instagram at the time because I was in such a daze. I know it's a stupid thing to do, but like, you know, I had fucking black eyes and I was all fucked up. Fool.
That's crazy.
Motherfuckers love to torture people.
Wow. That must have been a traumatizing experience, man.
That was traumatizing. That shit fucked me up for years. But to be honest, like, those people, they're not in a better position now. That's all I'm going to say. Like, they're not in a good position now. They're not in a better position now.
Yeah. So,
whatever happened. But, you know, I'm up. I'm on this side of things. They're on the other side of things.
Listen, fam, the fact that we're having this conversation here means that you're on the other side of things, bro, that you're doing good in life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and if people were able to even have the opportunity to see how I was doing, they would see that. Some people can't even see that. But no, it's by the grace of God, you know, and all glory be to Him straight up.
Yeah. Somewhere along this timeline of your story, you got married. What age was that? At what age did you get married?
Oh, so I got married in 2014. Shorty's Canadian, by the way. By way of England. Yup. Her parents still live in Toronto to this day. There's some bad things going on up there. She was a beautiful woman. We were married from 2014 to 2018 or some shit, 19. Basically, like, I fucked that shit up. She was a dope-ass bitch. I fucked that shit up by just my crazy lifestyle and, like, the things that I was into. During all that shit that I just brought up, I was with her, like, during that time. So she, like, was with me. And that's not what Shorty signed up for, you feel me? Like, but at the same time, like, bitch, you knew, like, she was turned on by the fact that I'm, like, this Cali bad boy, this bad boy from L.A., and da-da-da-da, tatted up, and then I brought her, we came to L.A., we pull up to my hood, the first thing she sees, the homies out with the burners, and da-da-da-da, and I know that made her fucking pussy wet, she's like that shit, it'll be like, but, like, when she actually had to see, like, when that's just not just, like, for play, and it's not just a costume, and, like, there's real consequences in this lifestyle, you know, I think that shit, she wanted to get the fuck up out. and I don't blame her. Hey, here's the truth, bro. Like, you know, we got married because I thought it was stupid that due to some imaginary invisible line called a border that she was born on the other side of, that I wasn't, that like that we had to keep leaving and we couldn't stay with each other. Like, mm-hmm. we were in love. I didn't want her to leave. She didn't want to leave. We're like, fuck it, let's get married. She fucking got married. Feel me? Like, when we split up, I could have been like, bitch, like, get deported now. Fuck you. Like, but nah, like, I made sure that I went through the proper steps that her immigration was. I wouldn't do that anyway. So I don't believe in, I believe in immigration and shit like that regardless. But like, I made sure that the powers that be realized that it was me that fucked the marriage up.
Yeah.
And she was actually a dope person, and my addiction is what fucked shit up. And, you know, so she's still out here. She remarried. I had a whole other relationship, and now I'm in a whole other relationship, which mm-hmm. I'm very happy with currently. So please don't say my girl's name, because I know you saw it.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because we still, we gonna step out with a bang when we step out, when people see what it is. But are like, I'm preserving her digital privacy as of now.
No,
but pretty soon there will be a girlfriend reveal, and we have a bunch of content planned around it as well, because a lot of people, you know, the homies at Mad Deep and other people have been like, yo, you guys would make incredible content, funny ass couple content, you know, like, especially she's, so, you know, she's Latina, me being a white dude, there's like, that's just a meme in and of itself, you know, and like, but just like our personalities, like it's gonna be some shit, bro.
No, man, that's dope, man. I love to see that for you, bro. And one thing also that we do have in common, I've dealt with my share of addiction when it comes to alcohol. In 2010, because I can't even remember how long now, it's been so long, is when I decided to get sober, or I think life made me get sober, right? And
that's right. Hey, great decision, brother.
Yeah. And you started getting into really taking your sobriety seriously February 3rd of 2020.
That's exactly right. The day that changed my life. Well, technically, February 2nd is when I went into treatment. Mm-hmm. But I got fucked up that day. I went into treatment fucked up, as we always do. So my sobriety date is February 3rd. Although it's no longer February 3rd because I now smoke weed and I've gone back to drinking, trying to moderate it to the best of my ability. It's hard when you're an addict, you know, so I'm dealing with that struggle as far as addiction goes. But, you know, I feel like if I could keep it to just weed, I'll be straight, cool. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with smoking no motherfucking ganja. God put it there for us. Motherfuckers be off all kinds of prescription pills and claims mm-hmm. right. I want to smoke some motherfucking weed. It's going to make me not want to, you feel me, blow my brain and everybody else's brains out. Fuck it, I'm smoking fat blood. You feel me?
Well, listen, man, to each their own, right? Like I said, I'm 13 years sober, 14 years sober, because February 18th is my sober date, right? Is my dry date, right?
You smoke weed?
But I smoke weed. I went away, okay. And this is not about me, but I'll just do it via quick fast. Like, I went away for a year back in 2010, I mean. And during that time is when my sobriety started, and I never looked back from then. But when I got over my parole, I was able to start smoking weed again, because at that time you weren't able to smoke weed. Like, it wasn't legal, right?
Right. That's
part of my whole thing was, am I going to be able to smoke weed and not want to go and turn to a drink? And
right.
That's been going on for, I don't know, the last 12 years or whatever, and I don't have the desire to drink. Luckily.
There it is. The mental obsession has been lifted. Feel me? Like you recoil from alcohol as if it was a hot flame mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I got you. By the way, what time is it?
Right now it is 4:27. Right, so here. Probably 1:27 on your side.
We good. Yep. We good.
I just got a few more questions now that we're getting closer to the present.
I got an appointment at 2, so as long as, you know, we good.
Yeah, because we're now getting closer to the present, right? 2020, we started getting into the pandemic. It was a weird time. You know, everybody was glued to their television, watching the internet. You know, views on everybody's YouTube channels were starting to go skyrocket. And one of my favorite channels, No Jumper, I was watching more frequently when I seen a battle rap podcast pop up. And I said, well, look at there. Somebody besides DNA Tooth or Jay Black to give us some internet battle rap commentary, but on a huge platform like No Jumper. I see you.
It was dope as fuck. I really like, I'm just going to use this as the opportunity to say that I really feel like the battle rap community did not take enough advantage of that opportunity that we had for them. And they did not show, they did not support us in that at all. Like, I was like really taken aback. Like, damn, like for real, like we're struggling for views on No Jumper. We're interviewing not only like, do we have Geechee and Bill Collector and every relevant battle rapper on there, Rub Nitty, whoever, but we're interviewing fucking like, you know, like Razzcaz and fucking Rock from Helter Skelter and like real hip hop legends. Like, the bulls ain't tuning in to support. Like, damn, that's wild. But I, for sure.
Yeah. And it was weird because the show disappeared. It's funny. You know what's funny? I bumped into Diz, like I told you at that battle rap event, at the KOTD event. And I was like, what happened with No Jumper? And he was like, yo, man, I'm not trying to do that weird shit over there with Adam. I was like, what? Okay. Did he ask you to do something that we didn't know about?
No, it was nothing like that. You know, I think with really what it was is, I've always been a fan of No Jumper, and I wanted to get like integrated with the rest of the cast, and I knew that was the only way that we were ever going to grow over there, or I was going to be, you know, that's the only way to kick down the door. And that's what the producer, Laura, was telling us, like, look, if you want to get shit popping, you got to like develop genuine rapport with the other cast members and get the shit in motion. Mm-hmm. Jizz was always like, nah, like, I want our shit to be separate. Like, I want to be associated with what they got going on over there. There'd be like a fucking, they would give us one day to like film 3 or 4 interviews in a row for doing outfit changes, all this weird shit, fucking, you know what I mean? Like, going out there to do these interviews, and like these motherfuckers, then afterwards they'd be like, oh, they're about to film the No Jumper show, or oh, they're about to film Disconnected. And I'd be like, yo, let's stay. But it's like, nah, we dip it. We dip it. I'm like, all right. So, you know, that was how he wanted to keep it. I wanted to become more integrated with it. He wound up going to Lebanon for a while. And during that time, they're like, Lush, you still want to do the show? I said, yeah. So I started doing them on my own and bringing on people that I felt would be a better fit for the No Jumper audience. And that just started to go up. Like, the first interview that I did, like, what went up, it was getting confused. Good feedback. Mm-hmm. Then they brought me on to the No Jumper show. H was like, yes, let's have Lush on there. Adam reluctantly, but still was like, all right, fucking sit down, Lush, let's do this. And the audience, like, pretty quickly, then had a cool little cult following that really fucked with me for No Jumper.
Yeah. You know one thing, though? You know you changed the direction of the whole No Jumper universe in 1 month, or not even in 1 month, in that 1 week. I don't know if you realize that, fam, that time with that whole legendary firing literally changed the whole staffing, everything of that whole No Jumper universe.
Well, if you look, I mean, like I changed a lot. Like, I made a strong impact there, bro. For those from September of 2022 to March of 2023, nobody's face, including Adam's, appeared on No Jumper more than mine. I was the most common, I was the most heavily featured person on that channel. There's still hosts on that channel that have been there for years that have not been on there as much as I have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're still, they just featured me on Highlight Reels over there the other day. Like I made a strong impact. And that wasn't the problem. I shifted the whole direction to having fools rapping before me. Like, no one was doing the rapping thing, even though the hosts are a bunch of fucking rappers. Like, you know, like, I, not for nothing, like, I definitely made my impact over there. But, you know, I can't really even take credit for, like, my firing is not necessarily what changed the direction of it. It was already a bunch of shit. That was just publicly what the catalyst was that people saw, that kind of, you know what I mean?
Wait, because when the firing happened, okay, and, you know, for the people who are, if you're not wrapped up in the No Jumper universe, then, like, I don't know, go watch something else, okay? But, like, after that, because of the, you know, the Discord and AD and da-da-da-da-da and information that AD didn't know, that caused the whole Figmunity world to make their exodus. You feel me?
Hey, bro. You know, the reality is, bro, those fools were already going to already leave, fool. Like,
okay.
It was already, like, set up with a bunch of shit. There's already a bunch of tension behind the scenes. The whole fucking shit with House Phone had happened. Yep. You know, I'd been over shit for months, ever since the American Cholo shit. You know what I mean? Like, those fools all were already, you know, like, Community had traction. Back on, they got other traction. They were cracking. They wanted an excuse to leave. And that just happened to be the catalyst for when they left. It wasn't like, we're all leaving because you fired Lush or made, like, at them, it being public that, because the thing is, it never needed to be made public that there was this bad, like, the conversations that were being had, like, the general masses didn't know that.
Mm.
It was only, like, even the shit that I talked about in that Discord, that was to a very small group of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're talking 13 people were in that Discord probably. You feel me? Like, it was, the general public didn't need to know all that shit. And then, like, it wound up getting put on blast somehow. And it is what it is. You feel me? Like, but like, I can't take, I don't think Adam blames me for that either. I think he knows that there's a lot deeper. I mean, literally, the House Phone shit had just happened. There was a really weird energy around there at that time. And, you know, I think that they were, I think that No Jumper was already trying to phase, move away from them as well. I think it was a mutual thing, regardless. And but yeah, obviously, from a public perspective, my firing was the moment the fireworks went up. But, like, you know, like, that was just the detonation. There was the bond sequence had already been initiated long before that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So even minus that, you feel like the dominoes would have already fell anyway.
Like, really, the biggest thing that happened is I played myself out of my position. And not only that, like, it happened probably, like, on a different timeline. They probably would have taken a little bit longer for things to deteriorate. I mean, but, you know, shit. Everybody bounced back, landed on their feet. And even though I didn't, I'm bouncing back now and I'm back on my feet. So it's everybody is going to be straight in the end. And, you know, shouts to everybody on all sides of that thing.
No, for sure. And do you think that, it, you know,
even suspects, little ho-ass, shouts to you too, bro.
In a perfect world, do you think that there could ever be a Lush reuniting to the and going into the No Jumper studios again? And would that be something you're open to?
And stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, man.
I'm more on some shit where I'd like to have, I would like to have conversations with people to clear the air about certain things on my end and what I feel like I did wrong. As a man, that's more important to me than reuniting the business relationship, which, you know, is, you know, there's always potential for a business to be discussed.
No, for sure. And the last couple of things I want to ask you here, now that we've gotten here to the present, right? with your whole life that you've lived, man, and like I said, like your life has been a roller coaster to get to where we are here, and it's a blessing that we're here. Give me one of the best decisions that you've made in your life, and on the other end, one of the worst decisions you feel you've ever made in your life.
I like that. One of the best decisions I ever made in my life, I would say, was moving to the Bay Area. When I moved to the Bay, I think that was pivotal. That was something I needed to do. I think one of the worst decisions I ever made was getting strung out on the Xanax, bro. The Xans, bro. Them things are evil. Them Xans, like, the Xans gonna betray you. Do not fucking believe them. They will lie to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. One thing I ask all my guests. Well, not all my guests. One thing I ask my more OG, my more veteran guests. What would one thing that a lush one now tell a 19-year-old lush one?
Get your motherfucking credit up. Buy property. Buy property, get your credit up. Buy property, get your credit up. Fiscal, financial intelligence and responsibility. That's what I would want to have instilled in a young, boisterous lush one.
Yeah, yeah. Get your credit up, man. Yeah, man.
Get your credit up, man.
Yeah, man. Lush one in the building. What you got coming up now that we're in the beginning of 2024, man?
Mad Deep is going up. You feel me? Mm-hmm. GTX Battle League is going up. Lush World is going up. Souls and Halos art project is going up. You feel me? Favela Chic Eyewear, it's going up. I got a lot in motion. I wish I could continue this. Unfortunately, you feel me? I got to wrap up the combo.
Oh, no, that's the end. We're at the end.
This is a dope ass combo, bro. And I'm down to fucking get it popping with you again ASAP. So let's work. You feel me? And you got a great platform. You've always been I like the way you're even keeled and have a, maybe it's partially the sobriety, it's the OG status, whatever it is. You know how to carry a conversation, and you're very sensible. And I fuck with your opinions. And you got a fat motherfucking blood of some of that grabba that you're sponsored by with the ops rolled up in it. Next time I see you in the dot, you feel me?
No, for sure, fam. And listen, fam, we're at the end of my questions anyway, so the timing is perfect. You know what I mean? You got to where you're going. And I'm really happy that we were able to get this conversation going and really get the history of Lush in a concise form in one piece of content. You know what I'm saying?
It's a definite part of the story, bro, for sure. You killed it. So, and in the future, you know, I'm down to hop back on, talk with you anytime. Much love to you and yours, from me and mine. You feel me? Never counterfeit. You feel me? I'm about my shit. And this is Lush Uno, and we are out this biatch, out this biatch.
You have a good day, brother. Salute to you, man.
Dude, bless up.
Bless.
We love hip-hop.